Morning, Boker Tov. Today's daf is Ksuvas Daf Tzadi Gimel. Ksuvas Tzadi Gimel. We left off at the Mishnah towards the top of Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph. This is what a famous Mishnah. I say famous. There's actually been mathematical PhDs and theses written about this Mishnah and ensuing Gemara. It sounds a little ominous or complicated. It's not a little bit of a cheshbon, not overly complicated, but we'll dive right into it. We'll see where the basis of discussion from this Mishnah comes. Mishnah Nasin Shalosh Hashem. A man was married to three wives, Umeis, and he dies. He's married to three wives, he dies, so now he's chayiv three ksuvas. Ksuvas Shazumana, one wife was entitled to ksuvah of 100 zuz. Shazum Asayim, one wife was entitled to ksuvah of 200 zuz, Vishazu Shalosh Meis, and one wife was entitled to ksuvah of 300 zuz. So far, so good. He has three wives. His total debt owing to his three ksuvas after he dies, or his estate, the total amount owing is 600 zuz. He owes 600 zuz, 100 plus 200 plus 300, respectively to the three women. But here's the problem. Vein shebel amana. He left over only 100 zuz. The state only left over 100 zuz. So how much does each woman get? How do you divide it? So before we even read further, in the next words, the Mishnah clearly say the Mishnah's opinion. Before we go further, what would be the options? On the face of it, there's two basic options. One option is they divide ratio, proportionally. The 3 to 2 to 1, right? 300, 200, 200. A 3 to 200 ratio, you divide the 100 by a ratio of 3, 2 to 1. So I'm not going to give exact numbers because I didn't work out the math, but one would get roughly 48, one would get 32, and one would get 20. It's not perfect, but it's close. It works out to 100 at least. But it's not the, but it's roughly a 3 to 2 to 1 ratio, roughly. That would be the one malach. The other malach is we say no. Each one has equal rights to 100. Each one, one has rights to 200, and one has rights to 300. But each one has equal rights to 100, and therefore what do? Each one gets 33 and a third. They split the 100 equally, 33 and a third, and that's what the Mishnah says. What do? Chol k'mishava, they split equally. Now, before you go further in the Mishnah, in these Cheshbonos, there's one just a technical issue. We had earlier, in the Masechta, we already discussed, that if two people have a Shtar Chayv, and one Shtar Chayv predates the other Shtar Chayv, the one whose Shtar Chayv is dated first has rights to collect first. So it shouldn't be a matter of ratios or equal splitting. The one whose ksuva was first should get the full 100, and then if there's anything more, then, and once that ksuva is paid off, whatever's extra then goes to the next person, then the next person. Why do we even have a discussion in our Mishnah? So right, and the Mishnah later will bring the Gemara, the Mishnah later on will bring such a din again. Again, we've had this before already. So Rashi addressed the question right away. Rashi says, jump to the first Rashi, first words of Rashi in the Mishnah, Ushlashta nechtemu b'yemechad. All three ksuvas were written in the same day. That's very shilosh Rashi. Rashi didn't say they all got married the same day. Presumably, why not? Because we know after the one might cut the zayin, the chesed thing it is. Ein marv simcha b'simcha. The one talk about not making a wedding on Yom Tov. We know I'm marv simcha b'simcha. So you can't marry all three on the same day. So it can't be they got married the same day. So Rashi says, no, you know what the case was? The ksuvas were written the same day. Whenever they got married, let's say that the ksuvas were written dated for the same day. And once the date for the same day, the shibud, the rights to collect, is all based on the same day. That's why they're in the same boat. That is how Rashi learns. Now, Flo asks Rashi, I don't understand. It's very nice that you think they didn't get married the same day because the Imam was similar. So the ksuvas were the same day. But we know the halacha is, even when you don't write a ksuva, the ksuva is maisa bezin, it's tzai bezin, it's automatic. When a couple gets married, even if they don't write a ksuva, we say there's still issues of being married together without a ksuva because the isha is not tzai mertas. So there's still an issue. But the bottom line is, even if you don't write a ksuva, we had earlier in this Masechta, we said that the ksuva is tnai bezin, and it's automatic. So who cares if they got married on separate days and then they wrote all the ksuvas on the same day? The ksuva still was an obligation from whenever they got married, so you're back to a problem. Each whoever got married first should have first rights to the collection. Azayfrik tafla answers the afla. The afla answers that no, that the shibud still starts with the ksuva. There's a halacha that when a person's married to his wife, even without writing ksuva, there's an obligation to pay money. But the shibud on the nechassim, and the fact that after he dies, there's a claim against the nechassim, that rights to the nechassim, that certainly only starts together with a ksuva. Ksuva creates that rights to the nechassim, and therefore, when you wrote the ksuva all three the same day, it makes it that they all the same shibud. We do have, again, the more we'll speak more about this later, this general idea. The Rambam holds that a person can marry two women the same day. Rambam means a person can marry two women the same day. I am Arav Simcha B'Simcha. So the first one explained the Rambam held that Aim Arav Simcha B'Simcha means is a problem when you're merging two different Simchas. So Yom Tov and a wedding. Can't do that. But if a guy's marrying two women, it's the same Simcha. In the way it's almost like Mim B'Minai in a battle, right? When you have Isser of chicken soup, and heter chicken soup, and you mix the two chicken soups together, so you don't see bittul there because it's the same species. Minay enay bittul. Adrab, instead of nullifying, it enhances it, strengthens it, right? Minay bittul. So it could be, I'm just borrowing an idea. So too, imar simchah simchah is only a problem when it's two different simchas that are, so to speak, competing. But if it's the same simcha, even though it's two different women, two different marriages, same simcha, maybe over there, Rambam holds, you don't say imar simchah simchah. Bottom line is, Rambam holds you can marry more than one woman at once. So according to Rambam, I mean, I shouldn't say Rambam, but they go the other way. They say Rambam's source, Zalacha, is our Mishnah. How's our Mishnah having a conversation about three women being titled to Ksuva at the same time? How's that possible? Whoever got married first should have first dibs. Answer is, it must be like you married the same day. Ah, that's why Mom's Raya. They can have multiple simchas the same day. The Machna says, I'm like this Raya, because you can have a third option. We have Rashi's option that the Ksuvas were written the same day, but they didn't get married the same day. Or you can say very simply, the guy was Eifer. The guy was Eifer. You say, you're not supposed to. Okay, we never had a Mishnah in Shas that discusses what happens if someone didn't do what he's supposed to do. Of course we do. So this Mishnah would be, if a fellow marries three women the same day, he wasn't supposed to, but he chapped the ride, he had one big suda, and he chapped the ride, he had the wedding goal booked for the day, he married three women the same day. So in such a case, what would be the method of paying down the suda? Just because we have such a Mishnah doesn't mean you're allowed to do the lechatila. Right, that would be a same day. But that's a question. That's really Rashi, right? You're giving out the Eitzah. The Eitzah we gave was that that Stam, they had written Ksuva initially, and they only got around to writing Ksuva all the same day. You're saying the heck Ksuva, so for some reason all the Ksuvas got destroyed, and they rewrote them. That's probably more practical. There's Chulila, there's a fire in the house, and all three women were living in the same house with the husband, and the Ksuvas got burned. That could be same idea. That's really Rashi saying. Okay, very good.
Don't learn from love and distract.
Sorry?
Like the Rambam, we don't learn from love and the Shvet.
Right, exactly. Malish Vuzais. Very good. Very good. So now, our mission so far is going with the option. Remember, we just to get our cheshbon, the Gemara will read better if we understand what the possibilities are. The two possibilities were either prorating, a ratio of 3 to 2 to 1, the 100 zuz, or what Mishnah ultimately says is split equally because they each have equal rights. But there's still one more caveat to keep in mind before you see the rest of the Mishnah of the Gemara. And that is, on the tzad that was splitting b'shava, right? Each woman has a claim to 100. The one has a claim to 200, one has a claim to 300. But each one has a claim to 100. Does the woman who have a claim to 100 have a claim on only 100? Meaning, in our case, there only was 100 there. What if there was another 100? At the end of the day, she's entitled to a full 100. If we're splitting the first 100 equally, what is each woman getting? 33 and a third. So they're all short. One's short 66 and two-thirds. One's short 166 and two-thirds. And one is still short 266 and at two-thirds. Right? They're all still short. But there's a sfar to say the shibud that each one has is only on an amount that corresponds to the ksuva. So the first one only has a shibud, only has a claim on the first 100. On the second 100, she won't have a claim. And on the first 100, she has to split it without the two, who also have a claim. But on the second 100, she won't even have a claim because her rights were only on 100. And the second one only has a claim on the first 200. And the third one only has a claim on the first 100. That is what the Gemara is going to assume. Our Mishnah, and I just didn't say the Gemara. Our Mishnah and the Gemara is going to be two miles from that. Understand our Mishnah, which again we will see shortly why we need it, because the rest of the Mishnah is going to be very cryptic. But our Mishnah and the first two Malchim of the Gemara are going to understand the Mishnah with this idea that each woman only has a shibud up to the amount of their ksuva. Anything above the amount of their ksuva, even if they haven't been paid in full yet, they no longer have a shibud. The Gemara will bring later this Rebbe who argues on the Mishnah who says this idea that until a person's whole, they have a shibud. Until I'm made whole, I have a shibud. We'll see that later from Rebbe. We'll get there. Says the Mishnah. Ha'isha Messiah. Let's say instead of 100, there's 200 is there. So what do we do? Shamana. Before we go further, what would we say? We would say the first mana, each one splits 33. And then based on the Agdama I just gave a second ago, that the woman who has entitled to 100 only has a sheep in the first 100, so the second 100 gets split 50-50. Right? If you have 200, you have 200 that's there. The first woman, the first 100 is about equally amongst the three. And then the second 100, the first woman only has entitled to 100 is out of the picture. The other two are still equally at rights to it. Split 50-50. So it would be 83 and a third for the second and third women, and the first woman gets stuck at 33 and a third. That's how you split the 200. That's how I would have said. What does the Mishnah say? Not like that. Ha'isha pesayim shalmana tells chamishim. The woman with the ksuva of a mana gets 50. Now, The Gemara is going to have two explanations how this works. On a base level, it doesn't make sense. Without coming up with a creative ukimta, a creative situation, why would the woman who's not 100 get 50 out of 200? Shemesayim v'shemeis, shleish. And the two women who are entitled to 200 and 300 respectively, they each get 75. We're okay with them being equal. We were, in our scenario, they would have each had 83 and 83, because based on the amount, 200, they both have equal rights. Why is it 75, 75, and 50? It should be 33 and 83, 83. The Gemara will address it. Hayisham shalosh meis. What if there was 300? Shalmana neitels chamishim. The woman who's entitled to mana again gets 50. V'sham asayin, the one who's entitled to 200 will now get mana, 100. And the one who's entitled to 300, shalosh meis, shishas zav, gets 6 of, I should have explained before, a zav is 25. One gold coin is 25 silver coins. So 6 gold coins is 150. 6 times 25 is 150, is 150 silver coins. So the one who's supposed to get 300 gets 150. So now, essentially, this is ratio. You have 300 zav here, you have 600 owing, each one gets 50% of what they're supposed to get. The 100 gets 50, the 200 gets 100, and the 300 gets 150. Problem is, we clearly said we're not going with that. We clearly said the first time in the Mishnah that they divide the first 100 equally. So all of a sudden, by 300, are we moving to a ratio? It doesn't make sense. It must be, however we're going to explain the second case, the third case somehow follows that, happens to be it works out at a prorated, a ratio amount, but that's not the lumbus, clearly. Otherwise, the Mishnah is switching Minei Obey with the method. Are we going based on ratio, proportionate amounts, or are you going based on each one's rights, each one's claim? They each have a right in the full. They each have equal rights in the small, in these smaller amounts. Okay, says the Mishnah. Well, last in the thing we'll have to elaborate. Between shleisha shetila kiss, if people put money into a kiss, it's like an investment. Pichzoi siru, and it went up or went down, profit or loss. Kachin shalgan, they split the same way. Now we don't really understand how we're splitting so far. The case of ksuva, so we can't really infer from there what's going to be by this kiss, by this investment group, but we'll see more in Mitzvah Shem in the Gemara. Shalmana Nitaz Chamisha. We say in the Mishnah, in the second case, the Gemara jumps right in. Second case, the first case is very simple. 100 zuz there, divided by three women, each gets 33 and a third, even though one is entitled to more, one is entitled to less, and one is entitled to even less. They all have rights on 100, and therefore they split equally, 33 and a third each. 33 and a third. Shaila is, why in the next case does the Shalmana get Masayim? Why does the Shalmana get Chamishim? Shalmana tells Chamishim, why does the woman who's entitled to money get 50, Tlasa Vatilsa Hudisla, she should be stuck at 33 and a third? She should be, why 33 and a third? Because again, she has rights. This is what we're saying. Our Mishnah is going with the assumption that each woman only has a claim on the money amount that totals their ksuva. So if the woman was entitled to ksuva 100, she only has a claim on the first 100. Even though from that first 100, she's going to split, it's going to be split three ways, and she'll only get 33 and a third, her claim is only on that first 100. So, okay, so she's stuck at 33 and a third, and then she has nothing on the rest. Has she jumped to 50? Amar Shmuel, because Sevis Balas Masayim Balas Mana, Dinu Dvarim Eli Imach B'mana. This is a classic Hacha B'mayas Inan. What are we talking about over here? We're making a major Kimta. The case over here is, the woman who's entitled to 200, her excuse was 200, she wrote to the woman who was entitled to 100, I don't want to have any dealings with you. I don't want to be fighting with you or arguing with you in courts. On the first 100, I'm not gonna diminish your rights the first 100. So basically, she took herself out of the first 100, which means that you left only the two women splitting the first 100. So if who's splitting the first 100? Let's just make life a little easier. We'll call the ladies down to 100, lady number one. The ladies down to second 100, lady number two. Not because there's any order; all three are the same day. And the ladies down to the third 100, lady number three. So lady number two says, lady number one, I don't want to have anything wrong with you. I'm leaving myself out of this first 100. I don't want to deal with you. So now lady number one and lady number three are splitting the first 100. They each get 50. 50-50. Okay. So that's how lady number one is 50. What's the obvious problem? Read the next words. What do we say in the Mishnah? We said that lady number one gets 50. Lady number two and three split the remaining, we're talking about this 200, split the remaining 150 and they each get 75. But if lady number two already gave up her rights, so it should be like this. Lady number one gets 50 and she's done. Lady number two took herself out of the first 100. She has zero for the first 100. Lady number three gets the other 50 of the first 100. And then the second 100, they split equally. So it should be 150, 50, and 50. It should be 150, 50, and 50. Says the Mar Yachi, according to this Eitzah, of or this Ukimta that Shmuel is saying, Seifa, Shal Masayim, Shalish Meis, when you have, we're saying the next line of the Mishnah, at the two women, the one who's entitled to ksuva of 200, the one entitled to ksuva of 300, they each get shalosh shalosh shazav, three golden coins, or 75 zuz each, they split the 150. equally, the remaining 150 gets split 75 each. Why? Let the lady number three say to number two, you took yourself out. Your problem. So it should be, you took yourself out of the first 100. I split that 150-50, me, lady number three, lady number one. And the next 100 we'll split equally, but you took yourself out. So the lady three should get 100, lady two, 50, and lady one, 50. It says, Mara, lady number one should get only 50. It says, Mara, Mishum, to Amr La, because lady number two says, very interesting, Medina Dvar Hudzakin Afshai. I only took myself out from dealing with lady number one. I didn't give up my shibud on my 200. Lady number two says, I have a shibud of 200. Excuse me, 200. I just said, I want to be busy. I don't want to deal with lady number one. So the first 100, I don't want to deal with her. And that causes her to get an extra, a little bit extra mass. I have 33 and a third, she gets 50. But I wasn't taking myself out of my full shibud. I'm still tied to 200. So now that there's 150 left, I'm going to tied to 200. You're tied to 300. There's only 150 here. We each have equal rights on this full amount. And if we split it 50-50, that is the response. Ask the Rishayim, ask the Ritva. What on earth? Lady number two is giving lady number one more money at the expense of lady number three. Bishlam, if she herself gets penalized, so to speak, when it goes for 33 and a third for lady number one, when she increases that to 50 because lady number two says, I don't want to deal with you. So if that gets taken off lady number two's ledger, okay, we can be safe with that. But for her to now go back to number two and say, I wasn't making any machine, but I just didn't want to deal with her. So now the 150, I get to speak with you. She's essentially causing a loss to lady number three. Didn't plan to give lady number one any extra. So how on earth is lady number two causing lady number three to lose? And Pnei Shua says, this kasha is not just the richest kasha, it's Taisus kasha. Where does Taisus the kasha? Look at this very interesting Taisus, a five-word Taisus. This is the second amount of Taisus on the page. Pekesevis balas shalosh meis. Says Taisus, no, sorry, I went the wrong one. I want the Taisus right before that. The Amrullah Medin Udvarim, who the Sliki Agamar, says Taisvis, Lo Yisparish Shaper Taimed Amosa. This doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand. I'm believing. It doesn't explain what specifically was bothering him. Says Pnei Shua, you know what's bothering Taisvis? Ritvis Kasha. Why is lady number three losing out because lady number two decided to be a little generous to lady number one? Ritva has Teretz. Ritva says, you know what I have to say? The same way lady number two said Din Udvarim to lady number one, lady number three agreed. Agamar didn't spell it out, but lady number three agreed to that idea of lady number two being nice to lady number one. And therefore, they're both, to an extent, on the same page. Therefore, it's okay. Fine. Says the Gemara further, even though there's two dots here, but the Gemara now is a direct continuation. Hayisham Shalosh Meis, go to the next case of the Mishnah, the third case of the Mishnah. Let's say there are 300 zuz there to divide. We said the one who's ksuv of mana gets 50, the one who's a ksuv of 200 zuz gets 100, and the one who's a ksuv of 300 zuz gets 150. Each one's getting exactly half of what they're supposed to get, of what they were entitled to. Says Gemara, why? We're assuming we're continuing with the same case. Shal Messiah Mana, Shivim V'chamisha Hudisla. Why is the woman, the lady, number two, why is she getting 100? She should only get 75. Why? Let's think for a second. She took herself out. We're assuming this is a continuation of Alaska, of the earlier case. She took herself out of the first 100. There's a total of 300 there. The Messiah took herself out of the first 100. So the woman who gets who was entitled to 100, she gets 50. The woman who's entitled to 300 gets the other 50 of the first 100. That's 50 and 50. And then on the remainder, The woman who's entitled to 100 gets 50. The other two women, we're saying the other two women agreed, go with the Ritva, or just take the Gemara for granted, that the lady number two and lady number three are now in agreement of this idea of letting lady number one get 50% of the first 100. So they're going to split the rest of the first 100. They're each going to get 25. If you go with Ritva, lady number three agreed to lady number two, and therefore they're agreeing to split the remaining 50 of the first 100. So for the first 100, 50 goes to the lady who's entitled to 100. The other 50 is divided 25-25 each to the other two women. Now we move on to 100 number two. 100 number two, lady number two is entitled to Messiah, and lady number three is entitled to 300. Both have equal rights to it. They split it 50-50, which brings lady number two up to 75 from 50. Plus the 25 from before, 75. And lady number three is at 75. And then of the 300, the only one who should have a claim is the lady who has a ksuva of 300. Only lady number three should have a claim. So she should be at 175. The division should be 175, 75, and 50. Not 150, 50, and... Not 150, 100, and then 50. The 300 should be divided 175, 75, and 50. As I think the Gemara says, the Gemara Amar Shmuel because seven is balas shalosh meis lebalas masayim ulebalas mana. Dinu Dvarim Im Chabemana. Again, Hachmayas Ginan, the one who was entitled to 300, went and said to the other two, Dinu Dvarim Enli, in the first mana, I have nothing of the first mana. So now, the math fits perfectly. The first mana is being divided equally between woman number one and woman number two. They each get 50-50. Woman number three, she took herself out of the first mana. Mana number two is split 50-50 between woman number two and woman number three, because they're the only ones that have a right to mana number two. And mana number three gets totally given to the woman number three, because she's the only one that has rights to that third mana. So it ends up being that one, it gets split 150, 100, and 50. That is all Shmuel's Malach. But again, all based on a major kimta that the women are relinquishing their rights in certain amounts of the ksuva, that's how the Mishnah fits. It's a funny case. The Mishnah didn't spell it out for us, obviously. The Mishnah was very, very, very vague about this. But Bechal, the Mishnah teaching us dinim, getting into these funny cases, without just teaching the basic din of how to divide in a normal case. I mean, it speaks out the first din. The first 100 is divided 33 and a third, 33 and a third, 33 and a third. But it didn't speak up the Mishnah. I would have understood, even if the Mishnah wants to speak out these unique cases, at least speak out. But what would be if they didn't make up these special tanayim, these special examples, and still at 200 or 300, first speak out a regular case, then go to the more exciting cases. Okay. Rabbi Yaakov Harpaket, Mishpat Ravina Amar, he has also a chap, a Hachamai Skinan, but his requires much less gymnastics, mental gymnastics. He says it's very simple. The money didn't come at once. In the case of the Mishnah, case number one, 100 came at once, and they split equally 33 and 30 each. Case number two at 200 fell, you know what happened? They didn't fall 200 at once. They got a hold of 75. They grabbed for the three wives tuvas 75. What do you do with 75? I'm going to say it outside, then we'll say it inside. What happens when they grab 75? Each woman is entitled to 100, 200, 300 respectively. They all have equal rights to 75. You split that equally. Each one gets 25. Great. Now, what is each one owed? One's owed 75. The one was originally had 100. One's owed 175. And one's owed 275. What falls down now? After the 75 fell, another 125 falls. I'm talking about the case of 200 fell in total. Another 125 falls. So now, on that 125, the lady who was entitled to 100, she's only collected so far 25, she's still now entitled to another 75. That much for the Akram HaPakud's willing to have. That since that first money was divided, was distributed already, that's out of the picture, so we're left with what money's owed. And what fell down? So what fell down now is, on the next 125, the first 75 is split equally amongst all three, because the lady who's down to 100 is still short 75. She gets 25. Lady number 2 gets 25. Lady number 3 gets 25. So they're all now at 50. So for the first 150, they're all equal 50-50-50. And then the last 50, lady number 1 is out of the picture, because she only had a shiva on the first 75 of the second falling. And lady number 2 and lady number 3 split it equally. So they're at 75 each. And lady number one is at 50. The case, the numbers of the Mishnah fit perfectly in that scenario where it fell in such a way of 75, 125. And the last case of the Mishnah was 150, 100, and the other Isha gets 50, is talking about where it fell, 75 first again, and then 225 fell. Let's see it inside. We'll explain that one when we read it inside. It says, the Reish talking about where they grab two different tvises. That's interesting. What does it mean they grab two tvises? Just a total side point before we get into the kishkas of the answer again. What's state tvises? Tvises typically is mashma grabbing karka. Sorry, I just said the answer. Tvises typically mashma grabbing metalton. You grab metalton. Tvises typically is mashma metalton. However, the chayr, the metalton is not mashubit to the ksuva. It's only karka mashubit to the ksuva. So the first time you say the chayr, that's what tvises has to mean over here. Tvises over here has to mean karka. That's one simple malach. That's Ritva brings it. Ritva asks Akasha. I the chayr mamma's not meshubin. Tvisa means karka. Ritva that suggests that no, maybe it's not karka. Maybe it's metaltlin. It's mammon. It's money that the husband designated towards ksuvas. They found one pocket of money, or that was designated to ksuva, as we'll see 75, and they found another pocket of either 125 or 225 that was designated to ksuva. But if it was designated, then even metaltlin could go to the ksuva. That is how the Ritva suggests a second answer. Ron brings a third malach that we're talking about where they grabbed while the husband was alive. But that's fair, because if they grabbed 75 while he's alive, and then grabbed another 125 while he's alive, at the end of the day, by the time he died, they had all 200. It wasn't two stages. The whole chap of Yaakov Menar Pukin, the whole chap of, or it's really called Ravina. Ravina's whole chap is that there was two different points of time that they collected, and that's what's creating this unique split in the Mishnah. Okay, let's see. So, okay, there's two different points where they're collecting. The first time Reisha b'shei tefitas, the Reisha is talking about with 200 zuz and the two tefitas, how is the split? Nafashim b'chamish b'chazimna, first time 75 zuz fell, so each one gets 25, equally, amongst the three women. Umeyav v'esh b'chamish b'chazimna, second time, 125 falls. Again, the first 75 is split equally, so they're all at 50 now, and the remaining 50 split equally amongst the lady number two, lady number three, so they go to 75 each, and lady number one remains at 50. Beautiful, it's exactly what the Mishnah said. Save for state visas. Save for this case we didn't explain before. Save for so much state visas. What does that mean? There was 300 says that fell down in total, but it came in, again in two shifts. Two different tefisas. The Nafla Shivim Chamish Bechazimna, first 75 came in half, of course, was split equally, 25 each. Then, each woman is still remaining with the Shibud. Lady number one has 75 that's owing to her. Lady number two has 175, lady number three has 275. And then you know what fell? Messiah Vesma Chamish Bechazimna. 225 fell the next time. So on the first 75 again, they split equally. It gets split three ways. So each one of them now is at 50, 50, 50. There's still 150 left. The 150, we do as follows. On the 150, you say that 100 of it is still divided equally between the two women, between the woman number two and number three. So now woman number two is up to, they're each up to 100. Woman number one is still stuck. She gets stuck. She remains at her level of 50. Women number two and number three are both at 100. And the third 100, sorry, the last 50, I should say. And the last 50 goes to woman number three, so she ends up with 150. Woman number two ends up with 100, and woman number one remains with 50. Tanya, Zumish is from Rasen. So now we get back to a point that we brought up already in the Mishnah. This whole machlokes, this whole explanation in our Mishnah, we have machlokes, the Gemara had to learn the Mishnah, but all of it's based on one idea, which is the Mishnah from Rasen, who holds that each woman only has a shibud on the amount that's owing to her. Even if that amount gets split, her shibud ends. But Rebbe says no. Rebbe Amar, ain't any right divar Shem Rasim Be'ilu el Cholkas B'Shava. I don't agree with the Rasim in this, rather they split equally. Meaning, until each woman is whole, they have a full claim, and you keep splitting equally. So if you have 300 zuz here, and one woman was owed 100, and one's owed 200, one's owed 300, you know how you split it? 100 each. You don't say the woman who's a ksuv of 100 is out of the picture once you divide up the first 100. She didn't get the full 100, so she does a shibud. She says a shibud on the chasim until she gets the full 100, so he argues on the division of the Mishnah. We said in the Mishnah that if you have three people put money into an investment, had they share the profits and losses in the same ratio. Amar Shmuel, so on this halacha, on this idea of investments, there's going to be a major chiddush over here, and it's really based on a whole different, it'll sound I want to say silly, but completely unfair. But it's really based on what the business norms were back in those days. So Shmuel says as follows: Shem shalchul kis. Two people put money into a fund, we'll call it like a wallet, into a purse, literally, but it's an investment. Zem and Avdem Asayim. One contribute 100, and one contribute 200. Haschar, and they bought something to the Gemara's made a case. I'll say they bought a shear to make profit with this ox. Says Gemara, the schar haschar top of a base lemza. Tap Rashi, Cholkin B'Shava. They split the schar equally. It doesn't seem very equitable. One person gets 200, one person gets 100, and they split it equally. Okay. I'm a rabbi. So Rabbi, we're going to learn this. Machlekes, actually, there is a mahalach of this Gemara. Rabbi and Rav Amnuna are about to speak up. There's a pashtus, and this is how we're going to read it. Rabbi and Rav Amnuna are explaining, they're both explaining Shmuel. They're coming to explain, / argue in Shmuel. They're explaining Shmuel Shita, but they're elaborating on Shmuel. There is a Shita that Rabba and Rav Amnuna are two separate Shitas, separate from Shmuel. There's really three Shitas here, not two explaining one, but rather three separate Shitas. We're going to go with the simple halacha that they're explaining Shmuel. I'm a Rabba. Mistavra Milsa the Shmuel, Bishar the Charisha, Rabba the Charisha. Mistavra Shmuel's statement that 200 and 100 each collect equally is where the Shar was purchased for using for plowing and a plow. And the simple logic is, you can't plow with even two-thirds of a shear. You need a full shear to plow. So therefore, each one who contributed can say, I'm contributing to equal amount to you, even though one gave more money than the other, we're contributing equally, and therefore they split equally. However, as opposed to, but what if they bought the shear for plowing? But it ended up being used for shechting, so they sold the karen itself. They sold the value of the original, of the asset itself. So over there, we say, if let's say they bought the ox together, one gave 200, one gave 100, we know the number, 300. And when they shechted it, they sold it, and they got 600. Simple. They double their money once they cut up and ejected it. The halacha would be the one who gives 200, he gets 400. And the one who gives 100, he gets 200. Each double their money, but it's proportionate. Why? Because over there, it's not stam that it's the animals producing something and they each need each other equally. Over there, you're selling what each one contributed directly. You're selling the asset, the chelik that each one bought, and therefore, it'll be divided equally. Now, the idea is, again, to us, we would have thought even when the axe is working in the field, you split it prorated based on what each contributed. So the idea is that there's two svaras. One svar is what we said already till now, that each one is totally dependent on the other. You need every part of the animal, you need the animal to be intact, to be whole, to be able to plow. Two-thirds of an animal is not good enough. So the two-thirds guy needs the one-third guy as much as the one-third guy needs the two-thirds guy, number one. And more than that, if the person who contributed more wanted a bigger chelik, the norm back then would be to speak out. This is what Rashi speaks out. The Rashi speak out that the norm would be to speak out and say, Eve, I'm contributing two-thirds, you're contributing a third, I know that I need you just like you need me, but I want to get from the profits corresponding my amount. I want to get more because I'm giving more. So if you stipulate that, of course they'll get more. But back in the day, these days, we would think the stummiest is you don't have to speak it out. That the standard in business is, it goes without saying, that would be normal. Maybe the one who's operating, and depending on again, there's other you know, tangible, other considerations. If one of them is doing the operations, one of them is managing it, there could be a management fee, there could be some sort of promote. But the point is, at least the pro rata amount should have some sort of effect on how the profits are split. In the Gemara, we're saying, at least in Shmuel's times, it was normal to split it equally unless otherwise stipulated. Okay, but when you're dividing the asset itself, when you're actually shechting and splitting the asset itself, then they split the item itself equally. That is Rabba's qualification in Shmuel. Rav Amnun Amar, afilu shalach harisha from the tvicha, even if the axe was purchased for plowing purposes and it was purchased for operations to make money, and it ended up just being used to shecht, haschar la'emtza, they still divide it equally. Even then, because each one needed the other one, it's divided equally. Of course, unless they stipulate otherwise, it's divided equally. Meisvei. So there's kasha on Rabba. Shnayim shetilu kis, if two people put money into a fund, zeman of zemasayim, one put in money, one put in 200. Mamish Shmuel's case. The halacha is aschad lamza. It gets divided equally. So far, word for like Shmuel. Now, my love, b'shalach harisha v'mitzvah tzvicha. The Mara asks, it's a funny question. The Mara says, aren't we talking about a case where the show was purchased for harisha and it's being used for tzvicha and it's a right from Nuna because we didn't make any qualifications in the b'risa? So, aren't we talking about any case, even where it was ultimately used for shechita, for tzvicha, yishechted it, and we see it's still splitting equally, which is like Rav Nuna says, and I grab a tif to rabba. The Mara says the obvious, simple answer. Why? You're asking, is it talking about this? I'll tell you, no, it's not talking about that. Peshar the Harisha, the Harisha, talking about a case where the Shar was for Harisha, and it was the Shar was purchased for Harisha and used for Harisha. Says the Gemara, here's where the Gemara was asking the question in the first place. Very nice. So what are you saying? Had the case been, if it was purchased for Harisha and then Shechted, then you would say, like, according to Rabbah, then the Brisa would have continued and would say, the halacha is, you don't split equally, so then why does the Brisa have to go to a totally new case to come up with a scenario where you don't split equally? Keep this same scenario of 200 and 100 and just say it was purchased for Harisha and Shechted. Let's see. You're going to tell me about the, according to the Brisa, if the show was purchased for Harisha purposes and then Shechted, send it to a few mice, send it to a few mice. Didn't like Rabbah says, Rabbah would say that they went over there would be, they each split equally based on their ratio, on their pro rata. As the Tani Seifa, so why did the Seifa have to go to a new case? What does the Seifa say? Look, that is Arvu. What if each one came and contributed oxen? One guy came and contributed one ox. And one guy came and contributed two oxen. Over there we say, if they form a partnership, that's clear, even back in the day, when one guy came and brought two oxen, one guy came and brought one ox, you don't say each one needs the other in the same level, because each one now has live, full oxen. So Zen Neitel, the Fimaisav, Zen Fimaisav. Each one taka gets pro rata. The price says, in that case, everyone would get pro rata. This guy gets two-thirds, and this guy gets a third. Affecting Mara, but according to Rabbah, Lufi Mizbida, why come out the new case in order to get a pro rata split of having they each brought existing full accent into the equation? Go back to the first case. Each gave money. But say, when do we say this? Then you split equally. Bashar Shalacharisha from the Harisha. Bashar that's purchased for Harisha and is being used for Harisha. That's why you split 50-50, even though one guy gave more money, split 50-50. Avol, Bashar the Harisha from the Tvicha. But a Shar, in the case we brought a Shar for Harisha, and now it's Ayman for Tvicha, over there, stand out of myself. Then over there, you split based on parada, based on percentage of what each one contributed. We can make a chilek in the same case. We don't like to go to a new case if we can achieve a chilek in that same case itself. Gemara says, yeah, that's what it means. We're going to stick it, na hach b'eskinan, more like a chesur mechzura, hach ravi kamar. That's what you mean the b'risa. B'amad v'amumurim, b'shar l'chavisha v'amad l'chavisha. That's what the b'risa says. When do we say this? B'shar l'chavisha, that was purchased l'chavisha, and it's being used for l'chavisha. Avol, Rabba's case, B'sholach Chavisha V'em of the Tvicha, B'sholach Bor Chavisha, but it's being used for Shechting. Over there, you would split a parada, just like Nasa Kamish, that's the equivalent of each one bringing in full animals, one bringing two, where over there, in both these cases, we'd say, Zenet V'meisav, V'zenet V'meisav, each one will get according to his own money. Okay. Tanan. So the Murnau asks a question based on our Mishnah. We said in Mishnah, the same law doesn't apply if three people put the money into a fund, pichsoy siru, and they have a loss or a profit, kachin chokim, this is how they split it in the same manner. Now, what does the Mishnah mean when it says that? My love, this is going to be a question, again, this is going to be a question on the, our prior discussion with Shmuel. My love, pichsu mamish, hay siru si mamish. Doesn't it mean that pichsu means it went down, they lost money? Hay siru means they had a profit, they actually made money. And here we're saying, when they had money, we divide it. Well, the Gemara is assuming this makes it a little bit tricky. The third din of our Mishnah was that the woman who was owed 300 ksuva, 300 gets 150. The woman who was owed 200 gets 100. The woman who was owed 100 gets 50. Basically, each was getting 50% of what they contribute. When it's 300 ksuva, they each get 50%. Now, we spoke out, it's not because it's prorated over there. We have different reasons. We had an explanation from Rabbi Yaakov Narapakad, Mishmei Ravina. We had an explanation from, I forgot the first explanation was from, an explanation right in the beginning of the Mara, from Shmuel. We had Shmuel and Rav Nachum each giving a different malachim. But the point is, the Gemara understood the last line of the Mishnah of the Chayin is going back on that last case that they divide prorated. It comes out they divide prorated by the Ksuvas, the Chayin by investment into a fund, that they divide prorated. The Gemara is actually interpreting the Mishnah that you divide prorated because that was the last din of, that's how the numbers worked out in the last din of the Mishnah. So we see that you don't say 50-50. You divide it prorated, the Chayin Tzakasha, on Shmuel's din. Amar Nachum Amar Ravua, Loi, the case of the Mishnah wasn't when they said prophet, doesn't mean there's mamash a prophet. It just means that the coins that they had, they contributed coins into a fund. And the coins that they had, so in the first, the Asiru means they ended up exchanging those coins for a more current coin. So the coins now are just better, meaning the coins they had contributed would have been dated, and now they had at least the fund had took the initiative. They didn't do any real business, seemingly they didn't make a profit, but they took the initiative to exchange it for newer coins. Newer coins are more easily exchangeable, more easily used in the market. So there's the mila, and loss means adrava. It's talking about the old coins, which they're no longer valid, they're no longer usable in the currency, and they could be used. The Mar says, Astira to Sinisa, they could be used. They used to use the coins, maybe the metal, the coins, whereas was as curative properties. They used to use it to wrap on one's foot, to wrap on a wound. And the example they're giving is the bottom of the foot, but to wrap on a wound to help heal the wound. The point is, the case of Asiru isn't a true profit. It's not Mamish profit. It's basically they each contributed. One guy contributed, let's make up the numbers. One guy gave 100, one guy gave 200, one guy gave 300. They each gave that amount, and now they're going to get back 100, 200, 300, just with new coins. So that theoretically they're splitting the profit equally, but not because it's splitting because there wasn't really a profit. They're simply splitting back the new coins the same way they gave the old coins. It's just the profit is the fact that they're new coins. That's the whole idea, but not really actual profit. Had there been real profit, it would have to be split 50-50. Let's quickly, we have a couple minutes, so let's quickly just see the Mishnah. Mishnah Nasish Abernashim. A fellow was married to four women, umes, and he dies. But my father was in Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael, and the Rashiv was giving shir. He said, he looked like he was reading the Gemara. He said, Mishnah Nasish Abernashim umes. He picks up his head and he says, could you blame the guy? He's married to four women. No. He did it himself, but yeah. Okay. Harishayna Kedemis Lashniya. So this mission goes on what we said earlier, what we asked on that first Rashi, or Rashi himself asked the Kasha, why are they getting equal split? Whoever got married first, first come, first serve. This mission says, that's exactly the halacha, says the Mishnah. Harishayna, talking in a normal case where they got married with regular ksuvas in regular intervals, so whoever got married first, she has rights to collect first. Kedemis Lashniya. Shniya Lashlishis. Shlishis Ravias. It goes in order of marriage. Whoever came in first, right, gets his first rights to go out to get to collect the ksuva. FIFO. Now, here's an interesting thing. Each one's got to swear to the one next to them before they're collecting to the one who's next in line. The Rishayna swears to the Shnia that she never got ksuva in the husband's lifetime. She hasn't collected, or even afterwards, she hasn't collected, and therefore she's entitled. And then she collects. Shnia, she'll have to give a shvua to the Shlishis, to the third. Shlishis, the third woman, will have to give a shvua to Ravias. For Ravias, there's no one for her to swear to, because everyone else got already. Nefras, shlei b'shvua. She gets to collect without a shvua. Bananas amar, chimeshi achreina, niskeres. Because she's fourth, she should benefit, meaning that she doesn't have to make a shvua. She should benefit because she's fourth, says bananas, afi leitapara, el b'shvua. Rather, she also has to make a shvua. Rashi right away says, last at the end of the narrow lines. Rashi says, Gemara Mefarsh, put top of mind. What's the second machlokes, whether the fourth one has to swear? Gemara will elaborate. Hayetis kum yom echad. Now, what if the ksuvas were all written on the same day? So Rashi's idea from the last Mishnah had a very nice basis. Right away in this Mishnah, what if all ksuvas were written on the same day? Kol kedemes achaverta, whichever wife, whichever one, whichever ksuva precedes, the other goes first. Now, typically, if it's the same day, what do you mean one precedes? The whole date of the same. They used to, typically we didn't write shayis in ksuvas, but there, or in shtaris in general. But there were occasions, places, we see shorl in this Mishnah. In Yerushalayim, it was a meaning to write not just the day, the hour, time of day. They used to write the time of the day. So, whoever's ksuvas, not just dated earlier, they all dated the same day, but time they're stamped earlier, we'll get first come, first serve. Same idea. Hayu. Yaisis kum yabechad, all the ksuvas written on a single day, whichever goes first, afil shachas, even by an hour, Zachsa, she has first rights. And Yerushalayim, the Mishnah points out that you're saying it seems unusual to write hours. No, in Yerushalayim, that was the meaning. They used to write hours by the signatures, by their shtaris. Hayukul and Yaitzes b'shachas. What if it's all written to be in the same hour? Ancient Elamana is only a mana. Chalkas b'shavli. Go back to that first dim we started off with today, that all four women will split that mana equally, 25-25 each. We don't even get to how much each is owed. They split, I mean, they're obviously owed at least a mana. They all divide that mana equally, because within the hour, we don't break it down any further. Post a very big number after Shabbat.